Hello, I'm Teresa Ayers.
And I'm Janet Gallen.
And we welcome you to
Love Letters Live. This is a show about, obviously, love letters. It's a show about how to write them and how to get to the gratitude felt that leads us to want to write them. Every love letter is a success story. It is a personal success story of some kind or another. And if only for the fact that you've been able to express how you feel and send it to the person who deserves it. That's a really successful thing. And a love letter, we like to say, is simply your truth put to paper in the most loving and compassionate way. And some love letters really call for compassion.
Because
you might be writing a love letter to somebody who's very difficult and you've had to search for those nuggets just for the joy of letting a person know that he or she has given something positive to you.
Right.
Even in a sea of difficulty, some positive has just washed up on the shore.
So,
and isn't that nice to share?
It's kind of like admiration, or it is admiration. It's a letter of admiration.
Admiration and gratitude and love and acceptance and the chance to put your best self on paper, to put your most charitable, loving side right out there and stick it in the mailbox.
And I think we've just learned that that has health benefits, doesn't it, Janet, for the
thank
person
you.
Who writes the letter?
Yes, thank you for reminding me. I love this. This is an article on a study that was done recently by a man named Corey Floyd, a Ph.D. in human communications at Arizona State. And he has done a study that indicates that writing love letters 20 minutes a week lowers cholesterol by an average of 7 points. Now, that's not to be scoffed at.
Heck
you know,
no.
why not do it? And you brought up the other side of it.
Which is, I wonder how much how many cholesterol points are reduced when you receive a love letter.
If you read it 20 minutes a week. But the point is that the other group, the control group, just wrote letters about what happened at the office and what they did over the weekend and the boat trip and nothing personal, nothing about how they felt or the love or gratitude they felt, and their cholesterol didn't go down at all.
Yeah. No,
I'm not surprised.
In fact,
no.
It might have gone up if you think about some of the things that go on in our lives.
Yes, and the truth is, you know, that if you do, doing the loving thing doesn't cost you anything.
No.
It's nasty that's expensive.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's anger that's expensive.
Right.
So why not?
Okay.
So our guest today is Walter Crum, who has for 26 years been a professor of theater at San Francisco City College. And he is a man with really a lot to say. So, Walter, let's just go right to you.
Why not?
Why don't you just talk about teaching and what's been important to you and what you've seen?
Well, I've always studied teaching. And once I finished with the service in 1946, I went to Stanford and got a master's, and later on went a little farther and got a Ph.D. in theater and English.
Nice. And, so you brought a lot to it.
Well, I've had a wonderful career because you run into the nicest people
when you
have a class.
Yes, I'm sure. Did you do acting, though, before you got to class? Did you do your own?
No, I'm not particularly an actor. Mm-hmm. I am a director and a producer, but on occasion I have played old men parts.
Recently or always?
Well, I think I've grown into it.
I see. So what is it about teaching that draws you to it, and what is it about teaching theater that appeals to you?
Well, I don't want to sound trite, but it's the people you come in contact with. Mostly young people growing up, facing a world that's changing, no matter what decade you're living in, learning how to handle your body, how to handle your voice, how to get rid of stage fright, how to feel at ease in strange situations, learning a little bit about operating theaters, which have become quite complex technically.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
And even it touches into advertising. So it's a very lively subject to change without much particular notice, but a lot to remember always.
Oh, when you see the technology of what goes into it now, it's just overwhelming. I'm sure that's the whole field.
And at City College, we have always had a up-to-date theater to work with.
How nice.
So that a small theater 350 people it holds. But on a campus, this is fine, and it's as much as a beginning student.
So what's your favorite thing to get over to your classes? And you talk about theater. I mean, do you deal with certain playwrights? Do you deal with certain genres of plays? What do you do?
Well, first of all, you deal with students. And students are still busy growing at ages 14 to 20. Indeed, I began in a junior high school where a progressive principal needed somebody who could teach both English and theater.
So what's the first thing you do with a class, day one, in a theater class?
You say, why are you here?
Okay, so why are they there?
Yeah, well, they stutter. You know? So it's easier for them if I say, so what is your major?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you expect to do with it? And, well, we're going to deal with you and try to show you a lot of tricks of the trade. We keep it positive all the time. There's a lot you can do here. You can act, but you can also paint scenery. You can design it.
Oh.
You can make costumes. You can learn how to run an electric panel of lights and how to set up lights and create things on the stage.
So everybody gets to be part of something exciting.
Everybody. And you can do any or all of these things in different shows.
What's your strength?
Pardon?
What's your greatest strength in class?
Strength?
Yes. What do you do best in a class?
Well, it's hard to turn it back onto me.
If you can.
Well, I like reaching out to people and shaking hands, joking, indicate there's nothing formal here. I don't ask my students to call me doctor.
Mm-hmm.
It's much better if they call me Walter or Walt, and that relaxes them a whole lot. And the fact that there's others right in the class learning with them,
mm-hmm.
this all helps. So it's, asking for ideas, theater, so they can feed into it. It's not just a sitting there and taking notes kind of an operation.
Do they learn parts and present? I mean, do you assign?
Oh, my, yes.
Like, how do
we
you do that?
We do a lot of exercises first in the beginning classes and in the later ones, too. And then we do improvisations.
Oh.
But then there's also short plays.
Well, so your goal is to get them confident enough for real performance.
Yes, and yet uh-huh. they're doing all the choosing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole choice of plays they can choose or scenes. There's a whole choice of activities they can do, painting scenery.
So let me ask you, is there a tendency for what's most popular now? I mean, obviously is that different from 30 years ago?
No,
mm-hmm.
no. The you can take contemporary plays. It's it doesn't have a time thing. It's involved with learning to handle yourself, not to be shy, and to step in to improvise.
Sure.
It's really an improvisation.
Oh yes, yes. Without the benefit, as they say, of a dress rehearsal.
Yes.
Going by the seat of your pants. Well, let me ask you about the students that you. I shouldn't say like best because I have a feeling you value them all. But who are the students or the kind of students that you learn the most from?
Well, really all. All. And by using my first name rather than doctor, students tend not to be put off.
Right.
They'll come privately or in front of other classmates to express themselves.
You have certain students you still remember?
Well,
over others, you know, most vividly?
I had an interesting case 3 months ago. A local group was performing up at the museum theater here in town. I can't think of the name of it. And they were doing the play called Judgment Nuremberg,
mm-hmm.
which you may remember was a play about the German Nazis after the war, the court business.
Right.
And my lady friend and I decided we'd like to see it because mm-hmm. I hadn't seen it when it went by about 10, 15 years ago. We got up to the museum, walked in, and here was a tall, burly sort of a guy. And he looked at me and he smiled and said, "Hello, Walter." I said, "Who are you?" Well, he had played the lead for me in a Shaw play that we had done 35 years ago.
So he didn't look the same.
No, he didn't. That was my excuse.
Yes.
But he runs that whole company there. Oh. So I can recommend it to you. He's doing plays there over and over.
Do you want to tell us his name? Can't think of it. That's okay.
It'll come to
okay,
me.
When it does, just say it. So that's nice to give him that recognition.
Yeah, but I can't call it up.
No, that's okay. What about some other people? You had mentioned that there was a group of three that people. I forget what that was, but you.
I didn't teach just theater, but I was given a few English 1A classes.
Ah.
And those classes, it's much more formal. You come in and you sit in your seats, you may. They may call you by your first name, but generally they don't. They're impressed with the doctorate, and they like to say that they have a doctor teaching their class.
Yeah.
But in 1 year, there were three ex-Marines, young men who had been buddies since going to Galileo High School here and then going into the Marines together. They're out of the Marines now, going to college together.
So how old are they now?
Well, they're 50s.
Oh, so you're back a while when you say going to college.
Yeah, oh my, yes. But not with them.
You're doing that nice dramatic thing of bringing it all into the present.
Pardon?
You're doing that nice dramatic thing of making it all present, so I like that. Go ahead.
Well, in a way, it is all the present.
Okay.
Especially when you get old,
okay.
By then you're remembering.
Yes, that's nice.
And,
I like that.
Well, they helped me during that time. We got to know each other as friends, too. Helped me move the piano up to a place in Sonoma County and things like that there. And then about every 6 to 10 years, they have a reunion here in San Francisco, and they come see me, take me to lunch.
Oh, so where do they all live now?
Well, one lives in Georgia.
Oh.
He's moved. He's done very well. He's retired himself, and has I think it's a pretty fancy place in one of the islands off the coast.
That's beautiful. The Sea Islands off of Georgia.
Another one has been the principal at Marin Senior High School, and the third one is a very successful businessman who travels. Lives here in San Francisco. Well, he did. He's now living in Nevada. But they get together still as the group that they have always been.
How beautiful.
But now they include me, and I love it when they come.
Oh, I wish this is one of those television moments, because that smile and how you're beaming at the thought of them.
Well.
So that's really, that is one of the gorgeous things about teaching, isn't it?
Well, I'll tell you this. Not only are they excited when they come, this year when they came, which was just about a month and a half ago, they brought papers that I had returned to them, the compositions that I had assigned. Because one of the things they liked about my classes, and remember they're ex-Marines at this point, was discipline.
Uh-huh.
And the first day the class met, and they had just come back to school, they got in there. It was an 8 o'clock English class. They tell me that at 8 o'clock, I went over and locked the door.
Oh, good for you.
And I came back and I said, "This is an 8 o'clock class. And if during the semester you're not here by 8 o'clock, you can see you will not be admitted." Well, that settled that for just a moment. And then I looked over the class, so they say, and kind of counted people and said, "About 30 of you. I predict that by the end of the class of the semester, only 3 of you will be remaining."
No.
And they got the meaning of that, too. And he said, you ran a tight class. And I said, I forgot most of that. Well, he said, we have some of the evidence. And they pulled out these papers with my mark in big red letters. WW, wrong word. SP, spelling. Those were errors.
Sure.
And the paper was a D+. And they said, you are a tough grader.
And they learned.
Yeah. But I did that in the English class, but I didn't do it in
I can
drama
see there are two different people here, one in English. But you know something? I so understand that. English has to be taught a certain way, or it doesn't get in. Look what's happened to the whole language.
Also, you don't get into
from camera. All that casual. You don't get what you want at the supermarket. I mean, being able to say what you think and what you want and what you... It's important, which is what we're about here, actually.
You know, I'm just thinking, what a credit to you, Walter, that most people will save their A+ papers. How many students save their D+ papers?
For the joy of the personal note in his handwriting.
Right.
Gets back to that.
You know, what a nice comment. I really appreciate it.
I truly feel it.
Well, you know why? Because in some sense they saw that as a love letter, that he cared and he took the effort.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, what a nice comment you made. Thank you very much.
So you want to do?
Quickly just remind our listeners that this is KUSF 90.3 FM, Love Letters Live. We're here every week at this time and love to have you join us, always.
Thank you. Okay, so I want to go back to Walter and ask you the usual question of the day, which is, who gets your love letter today?
Who gets mine?
To whom are you going to write this love letter today? To these three fellows?
No, I've just done it. I took pictures of this last thing, and I made prints of them, and I've just sent them.
Oh, you did?
Each a copy of the picture, because they took me out to lunch.
Okay, but in terms of this, so because this is about writing a love letter to whoever in your life, who would you write?
Who else would I write?
Yes, or would you want to write something more full to them? And what they've meant to you?
No, there's really quite a few people that have reappeared.
Well, pick one to write a letter. Let's write a letter to someone you care about.
Well, Gloria Keeley, Irish girl, quite a lively girl in class.
This is one of your students?
Yes.
Okay.
Lived here in San Francisco, and... I run into her from time to time, and what does she run but a store, her own store in Oakland, where she sells bric-a-brac, all the stuff she can gather up. She has old copies of Theater Arts Monthly magazines. You can buy those there. She collects old records, old furniture, old anything, and so she runs... such a store. I have not yet done it. Last time I saw Gloria, I've talked to her recently over the telephone. But she, and that was in Oakland that I talked. But she has stopped by. She's a sweetheart, too. She knows I love the big band.
Oh, yes.
Glenn Miller.
Sure.
Et cetera. And she made me a long-playing record of hit songs from the early 40s.
Beautiful. So let me ask you something. Let's do, if it makes sense to you and if it's okay with you, let's talk about doing a thank you letter as a love letter.
Okay.
I think that would be really nice. I mean, that sounds kind of like what you're heading towards expressing is appreciation for what she's done for you.
So more than just thank you for the gift that you gave me.
Uh-huh.
Goodbye.
Right. So how to make a thank you letter a love letter? Because that's really what it is if it's done well, right?
Yes.
So what are the things that you would say to her starting in a letter that you would like her to know that you feel about her and her importance to you?
Well, I begin by calling her by her first name. She's now in her 50s. But
that's a really interesting and instructive point, because we talk about how do you get into a letter, what do you call people. It's a big part of the letter, the hello. So, dear Gloria.
And she feels more comfortable saying Dear Walter.
Yes, okay. And so what would you like to tell her?
Well, she brightens my life every time I see her. She's an Irish girl, and she has a lot of the Irish in her. She's never married. Her family is dead except for a brother, and I think they still share a house here in the Sunset. But I never know when I'll run into her or when I won't. But suddenly she's there, and she comes over and gushes.
Oh.
And I love gushers.
Yes. Yes.
But, no, Gloria is a bright spot in life. But
that's a nice thing to say, that I love gushes, because that's saying to her, I love what you do.
Well, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I remember now, she reminded me of this. I used to have a big collection of theater arts monthlies, which for years has been the number one publication about theater activity around the world.
What's it called again?
Theater Arts Monthly.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to prowl around in junk stores and whatnot, and I had amassed a large collection of them going back to 1924, which I think is when they began publishing. Well, she still has those, but she's selling them copy by copy out of the store. I had forgotten that. They had come out of my basement.
So there are a lot of things that connect you to her, even as life goes on. So talk about that. I'm sorry.
But running into these people, Gloria was one that I recognized. Couldn't think of her name, but I recognized upon seeing her. Other times there are people that were kind of mouses in class, I guess, because I don't remember them. But they do remember me.
Well, so that having passed through your class, they're no longer mousy. They did what the class meant to do.
Well, yes.
They were. They had the courage to.
And the courage to come over and talk.
Yes. So let me ask you something, just getting back to this letter to Gloria. So talk for a minute about that, because you were just beaming at that also. The record that she made for you. Talk about it.
Well, what she made by hand, she knew the kind of equipment I have, and I have a living room full of kinds of recorded stuff, so I can play tapes, I can play records, I can play discs. I have all these machines. In fact, the oldest machine I have was my grandfather's, and it was constructed in 1900.
Oh, my.
It plays cylinder records that run for 2 minutes. And it's still working fine.
Oh, that's a whole other love letter.
And it has a big horn, you know, that you attach to it, cause it to spread the sound out. And this one is made of fibers. It's an attempt, instead of using metal, and it's an attempt to make a softer quality to the record from 1900, which is a wonderful keepsake.
Mm-hmm.
Going to have to find somebody who'd like to have it.
So when she created this thing, she thought about you and how you would play this.
Not that old one. She knew love for the big band.
Uh-huh.
Who was a big guy who died in an airplane crash? Glenn Miller.
Glenn Miller.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's Glenn Miller and
Benny Goodman and Tommy Dorsey and
exactly those. And it's a very precious disc. It's a disc that she made.
Thinking about what you liked.
Django Reinhold?
20
fit into there?
Pardon?
Django Reinhold?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nice try.
No, I didn't know. I just heard about him recently.
It's not just there either.
Okay. So how did she learn about that love of big band?
Well, it's because after she had called me first to see how I was after 30 years or 20 years, whatever it was. And she lived not very far from where I live. And so she came over, and all and she knew, we listened to records, and she knew then from there what I still liked.
So she made a record for you that was a combination?
That was hit songs that I had mentioned.
It's a CD or?
It's a small.
Uh-huh.
thing.
That was a gift to you. Okay.
Which plays on my new tape machine.
And that's part of the gift, isn't it? That somebody thinks about what it is that you would like rather than what they would
And the
like.
Gift to you, that's right, is that she was paying attention.
Well, it's the sweetest damn thing in the world.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's a nice way to end that letter, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're the sweetest damn thing in the world. Okay, so I'm going to give you these notes that I took down while you were talking, and I hope you can read them. And so it'll remind you of the things you want to say to her.
Absolutely.
And I'll be interested, you know, we both are always love to hear if there's something special that comes of this that you want to let us know what her reaction was. Well, and although we never send love letters for anything we get in return, they're just a gift you're going to send her. Every letter is just a custom-designed gift for one person.
That's a beautiful idea, and what a nice suggestion.
Okay.
I appreciate that. If I have any time left, I want to tell you, too, what a joy it has been to teach at City College.
How nice.
It is a wonderful staff. The teachers are all friendly.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice that nobody goes by his degree.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And anybody can become a head of department.
Nice.
And they can carry out any duty, and it's a homogenized campus, even though it's scattered around the city.
Well, thank you for telling us about that city. That about city, yes.
Walter, sitting in on this interview is a great pleasure, and it reminds me of a quote that I read recently, and I think you really personify this. If you choose the right career for yourself, you'll never work a day in your life.
Oh, hooray.
Does that sum it up for you?
I've not heard that before.
If you choose the right career, you'll never work a day in your life.
I will copy it down in my head.
I will.
Maybe
that's
Teresa will send it to you.
I'll write
that's
about
very,
you.
Very
okay.
nice.
The other question I have for you is, how often does a student, I know that you're fabulous, I only met you today, but I know you're a fabulous professor, a teacher, and I wonder how often you receive a written thank you or a written love letter from one of the students that you have over the course of your many years of teaching.
Well, I have a small collection of envelopes of students who have
written. Taken the time.
Yeah, people say, who do you have that's on Broadway? And we have some, but we didn't have any of the big stars, particularly. You wouldn't get it from a junior college drama program all
not
by
directly.
Itself. Anyway, it's interesting that they did get into professional theater. But I had one young man, a very, very handsome young man, who was an immigrant, really, interested in the theater. But girls would swoon over him.
Mm-hmm.
Went to New York, went to Europe, became part of an Italian troupe.
Nice.
And just a couple of years ago, I've lost touch with him, except in the movies. And it was a war film, began with Roman armies. And who was the Roman general? But this young man.
Good thing.
And I waited afterwards when they were listing the cast, and it definitely was him.
So you don't know where you're going to see these people, and you don't know where they're going to show up on screen or in your doorway.
It makes my dotage quite interesting.
How nice. Okay. I think you make your dotage quite interesting.
Well, people like you are a big help.
Thank you.
Oh, what a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I return it to you.
We invite you, if you've been listening today, to drop us a line at www.loveletterslive.com. We'd love to hear your stories, your reactions, if you have something to say to Walter.
Or let your old professor know where you are in life right now, if you've been one of Walter's students.
Send it to us. We'll pass
it
along.
We'll forward it.
If you have a question for Janet about a love letter situation, something that you want to say or should say and don't know quite how to do that, please send us that. Janet will address it here on the air. Janet, anything else to add?
No, I just want to say what we always say, because I feel it strongly, that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, please remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion.
So until next week, with love from Teresa
and Janet.
Bye-bye.